Well, this evening, please turn back to Psalm 121 with me. And our subject this evening is the Lord, our keeper. The Lord, our keeper. I was reading this psalm just last week. And you know, sometimes when you read the Word of God and you read something and you have to pause, and it's as if you're sort of stopped. And for the rest of the week, I just kept reading this psalm and kept looking at this psalm. And I just found this psalm so encouraging and so comforting. And especially, and I know you're probably all fed up about hearing about it, but coronavirus and everything and the fear that people seem to be in. Well, as God's people, we have one who keeps us and watches us. And his eye is always fixed upon his people. And I want to think about this psalm this evening, the Lord, our keeper. And you'll notice that, as I said, this is a song of degrees, a song of ascents. And it seems likely that these 15 psalms that are in a block here were psalms that were sung by the pilgrims as they travelled to Jerusalem. You know that the 3 times a year, every male over a certain age was required to go to Jerusalem to certain feasts. And it seems that as they journeyed on their way to Jerusalem, they sung these psalms, these songs, as they got closer and closer to the city of Jerusalem, where God was symbolically present in the temple. And it seems as you read this psalm, here they are, they're journeying, they're coming close to Jerusalem, they can see the hills, they can see where Jerusalem is. And so the psalmist cries out, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." He's looking at the hills. Perhaps he can get a glimpse, even as it were, of the temple in the distance. And he says, "From whence cometh my help? Where is the help for me?" And he makes the reply, "My help cometh from the Lord." You see, the psalmist realizes that the only place that he can find help, the only place that he can find safety and true help, is from Jehovah. And you see, the hills in the days of the pilgrims, as they would have travelled, the hills represent strength. They represent something that's immovable, something that lasts forever. The hills, of course, go on and on, don't they? We live a short time on this earth, but the hills continue. And so as he lifts up his eyes, he realizes he needs to lift his eyes higher. And he lifts his eyes to Jehovah, the one from where his help comes from. And he realizes, as we read this psalm, he spells it out. It is God alone who protects. It's God alone who guards and keeps his beloved children. And so as we consider this psalm this evening, I want us to, I trust, come to that point where we realize that our confidence is in God. And that's where it should be this evening. Our confidence should be in the one who has made heaven and earth. And I want us to consider 5 aspects as we think about this theme of the Lord as our keeper. 5 things that we can draw out from this psalm. And I trust this evening there'll be a comfort to you as we think on this theme as the Lord as our keeper. And the first thing is this, that God's keeping power is certain. God's keeping power is certain. You notice how the psalmist writes this, "The Lord is thy keeper." He is thy keeper. In verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thee from all evil." Verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." He shall, he is. It's certain. The psalmist here is, he has no doubts. He's fixed, he's sure. He knows that his help comes from God's. And we may say, well, why is he so certain? Why can he be so sure? Why can he be so steadfast in his assertion here? Well, because he knows the character of the one whom he's trusting in. You notice what we read here about the keeper, it's the Lord, capital letters, it's Jehovah, it's the covenant-keeping God, the one who met Moses at the burning bush and said, "I am that I am." He is unchangeable. You notice what he says here in this psalm, verse 2. He's the one who has made heaven and earth. He comes and he trusts in the one who has created the heavens and the earth, the one who stretched out the heavens like a curtain, the one who Job tells us hangs this world on nothing. Remember how Isaiah describes him, God, Jehovah, he's the one who sitteth upon the circle of the earth. I love that. What a poetic expression to describe the sovereignty of God. God is controlling and upholding all things. He looks upon the inhabitants of this world and they're but grasshoppers. The nations are but a drop in a bucket before the Lord, before Jehovah. And you see, no wonder the psalmist, he comes and he says, look, the Lord is thy keeper. It's certain. He will keep his people. You see, he's got all power. He's sovereign. There's nothing beyond God. There's nothing that can upset God, because God is the maker, the creator of all things. And there's not a moment's hesitancy in the psalmist's song here. He's certain. He's sure. Can the hills help him? No. But they speak of the one who can, the one who is immovable, the one who's unchanging, the one who has got strength and firmness, and he points his eye heavenwards. And friends, this evening, as we think about the certainty of the keeping power of God, do we have such a confidence in God tonight? We see the panic in the world around us. We see kingdoms come, we see kingdoms go, we see leaders set up and fall, we see nations rise and fall, we see the wickedness in our land, and so often we can ask ourselves, where is God? Has God forsaken his people? Is God forgotten us? Is God perhaps not the one who keeps his people? And we can perhaps be inclined to ask that question, and yet we can hold confidently on to the assertion that the psalmist makes here. The Lord is my keeper. Friends, this evening, can you say that? Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, we sang. We can know for certain here, as the psalmist knows for certain and sure, that the Lord is my keeper, is your keeper. Notice with me though, secondly, about the keeping power of God. It's unceasing. God's power to keep his people is an unceasing power. It's an unceasing keeping. Notice what we read here. Look at verse 3, for example. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, we read. God's care is a watchful care, a wakeful care. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. There's no drooping of the eyelids. There's no dozing in the chair with God. There's no power nap. You know, when I used to be a dairy farmer, that was the greatest thing. You know, you come in from milking and you can sit in a chair and you just fall asleep in moments. And yet with God, there's no need to recharge his batteries. He's always awake. God never fatigues. He never tires. We grow weary, don't we, in our Christian pilgrimage. And we can often feel tired in the pilgrim life. And we can often feel sleepy. But God is always awake. His eyes are always open. His ears are always open to the cries of his people. And he's always watching and keeping us. And you see, verse 5 and 6, we read here that the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Of course, in the Middle Eastern world, when the sun is at its highest and it's at its hottest, all you long for is shade. And it says here that God is like that shade, like a shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. He is as close to us as our shadow that follows us. In verse 6, we read that the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. It reminds us that God's care extends both to the day and to the night. It extends to those times where the sun is at its peak and when it is hidden from view and the moon is out. God's care for his people extends through all of our life, day and night. in light and in darkness. He watches and he is wakeful, looking at his people, keeping his people. We can apply this, can't we, in a spiritual sense. There's, in a sense, the dawning of our lives, isn't there? And then there's the twilight years of darkness. And yet God keeps us through all of our life. He watches over us. We read there in Romans chapter 8, didn't we, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Do you know, often we misquote that verse because we forget the first part which says, For we know that all things work together for good, that God is keeping us even before we became a Christian, even before we repented of our sin and trusted Christ. He was working all things. He was watching over us and keeping us. And we can look at in the sense of the darkness, dark times in our lives. There's times, aren't there, where we go through a valley. And there's other times when we're out of the shade and we're in the sunshine and we're enjoying days of great spiritual blessing. And yet even in the times of the light and the times of the darkness, God is keeping us. It's unceasing. God watches his people through it all. He watches you, believer. He watches you. In every moment of your life, he's keeping you. His gaze is upon you. When you wake up in the night and you want to cry out to him, he listens and he is watching over you. You know, there's a reference here, I think, to the fact that in that nomadic lifestyle that so many people had in those days, particularly in the Middle East, so many still do, don't they? But when you were travelling through the wilderness and through the desert, you would pitch your tent at twilight, and you would pitch your tent. But you see, the point was that you were very vulnerable to attacks at night. And so often, therefore, if you were particularly wealthy, you would place sentries on duty to keep watch through the night, to make sure that bandits that would want to come down and steal your things and perhaps take your goods, perhaps take your children and even your wife, that you would have these sentries who would be watching and be awake and be alert to see the danger. And I think there's a reference here in these verses, in verse 4 particularly, that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's like a sentry on duty who guards and protects you and is there to watch over you. And he watches over us and he protects us, and we have an adversary, don't we? We have an adversary, the devil, who seeks to destroy our lives. He goes about like a roaring lion and he seeks every opportunity to catch God's people. But thanks be to God that our God is a sentry who neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he keeps us. It's said anyway that if you had been traveling all day, that your sentry would have been up all day, and then you would have asked him and expected him to be up all night. And apparently it was a common problem for Middle Eastern sentries to fall asleep on duty. And yet we can sleep in safety because our God is ever awake. We are safe because our preserver never slumbers. And verse 8 highlights this unceasing care, unceasing keeping power of God, because we read, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." And here we have, really, don't we? We have a description of the whole of life. Life is just a constant going out and a coming in, isn't it? You get up in the morning and you leave the house for work and then you come in. And every part of life is a going out and a coming in. A going out of your youthful years into your teenage years, and from your teenage years you go into your 20s and so on. You're all the way through your life. It's a going out and a coming in. And God, he watches over us through every moment of our lives. Our circumstances change daily, but God changeth not. Our circumstances alter, but God alters not. And here we have this glorious picture, you see here, of the unceasing care of God for us. I remember as a child, you know, perhaps my father would work late, And perhaps it was your duty to, it was my duty sometimes to lock the house and, you know, shut the windows. But my father was still out at work. You know, when, and you'd go to bed and you'd have locked the house and you'd have shut the windows. But you always lay, and even though you were asleep, you were never truly asleep. And my father used to ride a motorbike to work and used to hear that motorbike come down the road. And whenever I heard that motorbike, I knew my father was home. And I knew that when he unlocked the door and came in and he locked it behind him, now everything was safe. Even though it would have been me that had locked the doors, there was, in a sense, there was this the security at knowing that my father was home. And in a sense, believer, isn't that what it's like with us? We have a God who watches and keeps us, and his eye is always upon us, and there's a sense in which we can sleep at safety, in safety, because we know that we have a God who is watching over us through our comings in, our goings out, even forevermore. You remember the hymn writer writing, "Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." There's so many promises in Scripture, aren't there, that God says, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." That hymn goes on to say, "The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." And you know, so many promises in Scripture remind us of this. Let me just remind you of one. Look this one up with me. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Here's a glorious promise that reminds us that even in the dangerous times of life, even in our temptations, whatever it may be, God keeps his people. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour." God cares for us, and his care, his keeping power, is unceasing. And we've seen then it's certain, we've seen it's unceasing, but notice thirdly with me, it's a spiritual keeping. A spiritual keeping. Notice what verse 7 says. He says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil." And he says, "And he shall preserve thy soul." It's worth just saying here that some of the modern translations are very helpfully have kept the word there in verses 7 and 8 where it says, "The Lord shall preserve thee." Perhaps you have, "The Lord shall keep thee." And it's the same word all the way through. Verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper." Verse 7, "The Lord shall keep thee from all evil. He shall keep thy soul. The Lord shall keep thy going out and thy coming." And it's the same word on each occasion. And we read there in verse 7, "He keeps us from all evil." Satan, the great enemy of God's people, the great enemy of our soul. He seeks whom he may devour, and he never rests. And yet, through every attack of Satan, our God is there at our side. As we just read, through every flood of temptation, through every flame of desire, our God is watching and keeping us. In this pilgrim life, as we walk it as strangers and passengers on this earth, there's so many snares, aren't there? So many things to trip us up, so many things that the devil loves to place in our way so that we would fall into his trap. It's fraught with dangers. And yet the Lord upholds us through them all. Remember the words of Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 24. We have this wonderful promise here. Psalm 37 and verse 24. David writes, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." You know, believers, sometimes we stumble, don't we? Sometimes we fall into sin. Sometimes we let our Saviour down. And yet we read that we shall not utterly fall, but that he shall uphold us with his hand. He guards and protects us from the wiles of the devil. He guards and keeps us just like a shepherd fiercely keeps his sheep. Christ is the good and the great and the chief shepherd of his people. And he laid down his life for his sheep. And he keeps us and preserves us from all evil. Even when the moon shines, we read here. Even in the night seasons, when so much evil takes place and so much wickedness occurs. You know, the thief doesn't rob at noonday, does he? He robs at night. And so it is with our souls. In a sense, there's night seasons when we're attacked. But God keeps us even through those things. He's a wonderful shepherd to us, isn't he? Who keeps us and guards us and protects us and preserves our soul. And you know, there's a sense in which the body doesn't matter, does it? There's a sense in which whatever may come to us physically, whether it's illness, whether it's pain, whatever it might be, there's a sense in which that doesn't matter, does it? The thing that's most important is our soul, and God keeps our soul. People can do all sorts to our body, but God is the one who keeps our soul. Jeremiah 31:10-11 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel would gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he." He's our shepherd who keeps us from all evil, and keeps our soul. Not only, you see, therefore, is the keeping power of God certain, not only is it unceasing, not only is it spiritual, but notice it's personal. It's personal. Look at verse 5 again. Look what the psalmist writes. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. Look all the way through the psalm. He says, I will lift my eyes. Whence comes my help? Where does my help come from? These personal pronouns all the way through. And you notice that the one who keeps Israel, he describes as the one who keeps all of Israel, a great nation. And yet in the very next line, he says that this one who keeps Israel, a great nation, his chosen people, keeps you personally. God has a great personal interest in each of his children. He watches you, believer, as if you were the only one in his care. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He cares for us as a father cares for his children. You know, of all the pictures in Scripture that describe the keeping power of God, and we've highlighted some of them, one who guards and watches over a tent at night, as a shepherd guarding his sheep, or you could imagine someone guarding a king, a royal ambassador there to keep a king. Perhaps one of the most beautiful is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Just turn with me to this reference. Deuteronomy and chapter 32. This is the passage where Moses sings a song. And in verse 10, listen to these wonderful words of Moses here in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10. He's describing the Lord's love for his people. And he says, he found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. What's the one thing that you'll protect most on your body? If your eye, you imagine somebody coming trying to poke their finger in your eye. You'll do everything you can to protect yourself. It's one of the most sensitive parts of your body. And the Lord says, look, I treat you as the very apple of my eye. I will protect you and guard you and keep you, just as anyone would do everything in their power to stop someone or something coming into their eye. And no wonder the psalmist in Psalm 17 prays, keep me as the apple of thine eye. You know, God's people this evening, we are so favoured by God. He loves us with an everlasting love. He sent his Son for us, to die for us. and his son was unwavering in his love for us in going to Calvary. And do you think that having sent his son into this world to die for us, that he would then abandon us? When Christ was on Calvary, believer, he even had you in his mind. And your name is written on the palms of his hands, and he keeps you, you personally. Notice then, lastly with me, that this keeping power of God is eternal. Verse 8 says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth." And then until you die? No. Is it then and just until for a few centuries afterwards? No. He says, "I will preserve thy going out and thy coming forth from this time forth and even forevermore," for all eternity. God keeps us. Not only now in this life, not only today he's kept you, not only has he promised to keep you for tomorrow, but he will keep you for all of eternity. Even to that point when we leave this world, and that's a wonderful expression in verse 8, he preserves our going out and our coming in, and there comes a day when we will leave this world, there'll be a final going out, but there will be a glorious coming in when you come into the presence of your Saviour Jesus Christ, and you shall see him face to face. And God will preserve us from that moment when we leave this world, and he'll preserve us and keep us to when we come into heaven. He'll preserve us for all eternity. No other religion can say that. No other religion can guarantee it. Only Jehovah, the one who has created the heavens and the earth, the one who is stronger than the hills, who is immovable, who is changeless. Only he's the one who can keep you for all eternity. And of course, there'll be that glorious day, not only when we leave this world and our soul goes to be with our Saviour, but there'll be that day when Christ comes again and soul and body will be reunited for all eternity. That final glorification, redemption of the body, and God will keep us till that day and forevermore. Believer, this evening, do you stay yourself upon God's? The world outside this building is panicking over something they can't see, a virus they can't even grapple with and understand, and they're coming up with theories, and man is running around panicking, and yet here we are, believers, we have a God who keeps us. And we may therefore, believer, march onwards and upwards in our earthly pilgrimage, confident of our everlasting security, assured of our continued perseverance, certain of that heavenly glory. And we may say with the psalmist here, "The Lord is my keeper." Well, believer, this evening, let's turn to our final hymn, 724. 724, "All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" 724.